I don't want my church community to necessarily find out that I speak about having wealth and like acquiring wealth and using it for good. And like some people can take that as like, oh, she's not holy, which is very common among Christians. It's holy if you don't have a lot of money. That's what we are told.
You can be Catholic and faithful to the religion and want money and visibility and have money and visibility and all these things. These are not in conflict. God wants you to be rich so that you can enjoy all the beautiful things that God created. And you can acquire books and you can go travel places and you can have nice things because God created all of it. How many other Christians, and specifically Catholics, do you think struggle with a similar kind of thing?
Oh, so many. And that's part of why I've felt like I need to start talking about it and like exploring it myself.
And the more you do from a perspective of, I don't have the answers, but I'm struggling with this, and this is what I'm finding, that I think is gonna resonate like fuck.
In the online industry, it's like you have to be the authority, be the expert. What would you say to that?
Bullshit. You don't have to be the authority, you have to be fucking real. Welcome everybody to another episode of Recode Your Mind with Calvin Carelli. I got with me here today, Bridget. Bridget, tell us about your business. And
Yes, so on Simplero anyways, I own Loretta Wellness, and what I do is help six and seven figure entrepreneurs really rewire their mind, similar to you. So, and
fantastic.
rewire their mind and their nervous system, regulate their nervous system so that they can actually reach that level that they are achieving without feeling so frazzled. And honestly, I hear all the time, like, I just don't want to be a psycho. And so without becoming a psycho and getting to that next level. So yeah.
What does that mean, being a psycho?
Well, it's so funny. I hear this all. I work primarily with women. And so I've heard this all the time where they're like, I just turned into a psycho. And I have asked, I'm like, what does that mean? So it's a little bit different for every single person, but I think generally speaking, it probably means for the masses at least, like that they are somebody that they don't really like and that they do and say things that it's like their normal self would never do and say. So it's just that, again, like yelling at their kids, snapping at their husband or spouse, like just doing things that it's not really them, but it's their way of trying to cope with all of the things that they have going on.
Got it. And so they come to you to stop being psychos.
If you want to put it that way, yes.
Yes. All right, cool. Yeah, you're the psycho destroyer.
Yes.
Okay, got it. That's cool. So yeah, what can I how can I serve today? What is the thing that you want to achieve, or what's the challenge you want to overcome in your business?
Well, I think one of the biggest things, and again, I have two businesses actually. So I have one on Simplero, which is this one, Loretta Wellness, and then we have an in-person one. And we have a farm in Pennsylvania where we do weddings and events. And so that one
Cool.
has been running now for like 13, 14 years, somewhere around there. And then this one online here has been on for, I don't even know, 5, 6 years. I forget however many years. And so it's been sort of interesting to see how everything has shifted, especially in the last 5 or 6 years or so, both in person and online. And I think one of the biggest things, and again, I'm giving you some background just so you understand where it's coming from, is that pre probably 2022, getting weddings and events booked was like no problem. It was so simple, it was so straightforward because one, we had the market pretty. We had the market in our area, our physical area. But now, and similar to the coaching businesses online, there's so many. And it's like in our county alone, and we have a small county, I literally live in Amish country. So it's like there's not that many people here. There's like 36 different wedding venues now. So there's
Wow.
tons and tons of competition, and they all look kind of the same, but like not exactly the same. And so I think that that has kind of spread also into the coaching industry online, where it's like it seems like everybody's kind of in it and doing it. So how do I really, one, distinguish myself from everybody else? And then, and I'm not just talking like be more authentic and like do this and that. Like, how do I actually show people like I'm a real person and I really care about you? And if you join, like, you're going to get amazing service. And two, where do you even find some of these people? Because again, my niche is sort of a unique one where it's yes, working with six and seven figure entrepreneurs, but not only just that, they're also Christian and faith-based. So it seems like it's even a little bit harder to find those. So I think those are the two big things, is distinguishing, again, not just surface level stuff, but like deeper. And then two, how to even find those like right fit clients.
Understood. Yeah. So you're saying like there's like 30 additional wedding venues that have popped up in a few years
Yes.
in your
Yep.
area?
Yeah. Again, where I live, it's like big into the barn dominium style. And so we have an old barn. It's from 1905. And so
Barn
we've,
dominium?
oh yeah. So it's
That's
like,
a
it looks like
technical
a
term I've
barn.
not heard.
It looks like a barn, but it's enclosed. It has AC. It has heating. It has like, almost think like barn slash industrial look. That's what it looks like. Versus ours is like literally an old barn. And so that's very popular in our space or in our area.
Okay. And so there's just now tons of people have turned their barns into this kind of thing.
Not even turned them in, they've built them specifically for this.
Oh, wow. Okay. Fascinating. So I'm just curious, like, what is that? Is that just like, is it kind of like the Airbnb craze? People are like, hey, I can make some extra money with this. Like, but if you're building a whole barn for the purpose of this, like you're investing some serious
Oh,
capital
really?
there.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
So, and is this attracting people from out of state, from other places to there, or is it?
Somewhat, yeah. So I'm kind of in the, again, I'm in Pennsylvania and I'm kind of right in the middle of Erie, PA, which is a pretty large city, relatively, and Pittsburgh, PA. So we're like right in the middle. So I'm about 50 minutes from Pittsburgh and about 1 hour and 10 minutes from Erie. But we live in an Amish area, which people think is really interesting because if you don't grow up here and you see Amish people driving around, everybody's like, this is so cool. And so they love it because their guests aren't used to it and they're not used to it. And so we do get a lot of local people, but it's also a lot of out-of-towners as well.
Understood. Yeah. Okay. So what have you tried to stand out there?
Well, our pricing is indicative of the fact that we do not have heating and cooling because we just don't see the value of putting it in for how many events that we do each year because we're seasonal.
How
We
many events do you do?
max of 12. That's what our ordinance allows for us specifically. And then in terms of like messaging and putting ourselves out there, again, we really want to draw in like that faith-based crowd just because that's really one of our big, that is our huge value for our family. And so all over our website, we have like, this is a family farm. Like there's pictures of our kids and like us doing everything, trying to really show that like this is not a huge enterprise, that this, you're going to get really personalized attention whenever you come here.
And where do you do that? Sorry.
Social media on our website. And it's pretty much just word of mouth as well.
Okay. And so what social media?
Facebook, Instagram is pretty much it.
Okay. And how often are you posting and how's it doing?
I should be posting more. Our Facebook does pretty well. Just organically, we have like 2,500 followers. Instagram is like, I don't know, 1,100 followers or something like that. I honestly don't really look at the numbers too much for those. I do know whenever I do post, though, it gets lots of shares and likes and everything because we just have a really good community around us. Was doing really well at posting like every other day. And then this past year or so just got really busy with my coaching business. And so it definitely slacked off and was more like a few times a month.
Okay. And yeah, and what kind of stuff are you content are you posting there?
Usually it's just a lot of pictures of the weddings and different events that we have. I know I should probably be doing behind the scenes and stuff like that, but again, just trying to manage two businesses and doing social for one
Sure.
and both, it just feels like a lot. We actually are running a farm camp for kids this week, and so I just posted content for that where we had like a dairy farm come in, so I know that that stuff will do really well. But yeah, I know it can be more for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if it makes sense, like what's your margin on these events?
I don't have the exact number pulled up in front of me, but last I checked, if we don't take into consideration paying myself or my husband, it was about 60%, so it's a pretty good margin.
And what is it in dollars?
It kind of depends on each event because each event's a little bit different, but for a wedding, I would say probably averaging $3,500.
In profit
Yeah.
margin. So not so that's what you and your husband gets to take home after each event.
Ideally, we
Is
take
it?
that home, but usually we just reinvest it or use it to buy supplies that we need.
Got it. Okay, so it's not a crazy profitable business.
I would say it's profitable in the sense that it pays for our farm needs that we have. So diesel fuel, gas, hay, stuff like that. But it's not bringing in like loads of money for us personally to use.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's the wedding venue business. Okay. Where would you like to take that? I mean, and
That's
what?
kind of, yeah, we're not entirely sure. So again, we have five, soon to be six kids. So it's like we're not trying to do this stuff all the time because we do it ourselves and we don't have any interest in like hiring it out because again, it's just, I don't know, we live here. The barn's like 150 yards from us. So we're not trying to make it some commercial, like super commercial thing. So we've sort of shifted a little bit from the weddings and events to, and the smaller events are super easy, like grad parties, memorials, showers, things like that. Those are really simple and straightforward, but definitely not money makers. So we've shifted a bit more towards the horse boarding. So now we have a few different horses that we board, which is definitely more profitable. But if you want to actually be able to bring home any money, you really have to scale that. And again, we don't necessarily have the intention to scale that. So it's the farm business is essentially like, let's make enough to pay our internet, dumpster, like trash, bills like that, taxes, things like that. So that personally, we don't have to pull money out of like my coaching business, and he has a W-2 job, so we don't have to touch those. The farm's sort of like self-sufficient in terms of money itself.
Got it. Understood. Okay. I'm getting a sense here. Okay. So tell me about the coaching business.
Yeah, so that's this one, Loretta Wellness. Started off in just general health coaching whenever I was going through my board certification, realized that I don't love necessarily coaching people through like how to quit smoking and how to get the right amount of water. I don't love that stuff, but I had to do it just to get my hours and everything like that. Shifted into birth trauma coaching, which actually went really well. Did make a lot of money in that, but realized that I was only really doing it because I had a coach who told me, she was like, what do you want to do? And I told her, she was like, you're not going to be able to make money in that. And I was like, okay. So, well, and she was like, so what do people actually talk to you about? And I said, birth trauma and like healing C-sections. And I was like, I'll do birth trauma. So it sort of was like, I don't want to say pushed into it, but it was sort of like, here's the path, go down this path. And again, it did well, it made money, but it just never felt super authentically me. And so in the last 2 years, I've really shifted more into that, working with high net worth individuals who are making big impacts in their industry, but also really want to be present for their families as well. And yeah, so that's where it's at now, and doing a lot of nervous system rewiring and regulation, not just the regulation, because I don't think that that is a fix for everything.
So, what does that mean? Nervous system re rewiring versus re regulation?
I mean, it's probably similar to, at least from my understanding of what you do, where it's like, again, your nervous system is always scanning the environment around you, and it learned at an early age, usually before the age of 10, like a set pattern. And so that set pattern was what you learned kept you safe. And it doesn't necessarily have to make logical sense, it just has to make sense to what you perceive to be safe. And so it doesn't have to be physical safety, this could be emotional, physical, mental, whatever, safety. And from there, that pattern is running everything in your life and your business. Most people aren't aware of it. And so they don't understand why they really have a hard time charging what they actually want to charge, or why they let clients like totally overstep boundaries and don't actually enforce things, or even the physical side of things, like why they can't lose the weight. I don't get into that stuff, but like that's a side of it too. So that's the rewiring side of it, where you have to really train your nervous system again that it is safe and that it is okay if you do X or Y or whatever.
Right.
And then
Got
from
it. Okay.
there, the regulation is like kind of the what everybody knows is regulation side of things.
Well, what do you do there? Like, is stuff like meditation or like, what do you do?
Honestly, I find that once you rewire your nervous system, the regulation, yes, is necessary, but it's not like a huge component of things. You're going to find that you're doing these things anyway, because you're not going to need to feel the need to work so hard. You're going to be able to rest. You're going to be able to sit down and eat your meals. And so that th those are some of the, I have like a daily five that I walk my clients through, essentially hydration, nutrition, movement, joy, and then again, because I'm faith-based, relationship with Christ. So those are the
Got it.
five things. If you do those every day, then you're golden.
Cool. Got it. Yeah. How when are you due, by the way?
October.
October. All right. Congrats. So that's what, 4 months?
Don't know,
Nice.
somewhere around there.
Yeah. Cool. Exciting. Number six. All right. Good job. Good job.
My husband's always like, we're repopulating the earth, right? So.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. I love it. I'm here for it. It's amazing. So, okay. And so, how many of those clients do you have right now?
It's kind of a mix. Because I'm shifting more into like one-on-one now that I'm having another baby, so that I don't have to worry about keeping a group going. There's six in the group currently, and then four or five one-on-one clients. I can't remember exactly. But then I'm also running a summer program that's 8 weeks long, and that has five women in it. So I guess probably like 20 total.
And the 8 week, that's also on the coaching side of for
Yeah,
women
but we,
specifically.
yes, but we focus on one specific thing. It's really about one piece, not like getting to the root of everything.
Okay. Got it. So the four one-on-ones you have, are they all in this category of, you said, high net worth?
Most of them are, yeah. Even if they are not themselves 6 or 7 figure business owners, like the one specifically I'm thinking of, her husband is a doctor. She has a smaller business. It still brings in, I forget what number she told me. I don't even remember. 4 or 5 thousand a month, something like that. So it still brings in a decent amount of money, but she's not at that like six figure yet. So it's really not necessarily about the amount, but it's about that growth mindset. Because usually, if you can get to that six figures, not being like a W-2 employee, then you have that growth mindset. And it's just a matter of like, that's who I want to work with. I don't want to work people who think like, I'm going to fix them because I can't fix them.
Okay. Cool. I love it. So, what do you feel is working, was not working?
So what is working is client delivery is great. Get really good testimonials. Everybody gets really, really good results, which is awesome. Not working so well is I don't want to say leads because I know that I have people because just like organically have I think it's like 13 or 1400 on Instagram have I don't even know multiple hundred on my email list. So I know I have people, but it's a matter of are they the right fit people? And do I'm not doing something right in order to actually make them move and want to take action.
Okay. And are you getting new people in?
In where?
Like new people on your Instagram? Like, where are you fo focusing most on social media? Is that Instagram or Facebook or?
Instagram, and then I do cross post most things on LinkedIn, but it's primarily Instagram.
And yeah, how is your content performing on Instagram?
I mean, it's most of the time it's pretty consistent. Have had some things go like quote unquote viral recently. But yeah, just really hitting that kind of the same people over and over
Right.
and over again.
Are you posting reels? Are you posting carousels? Are you posting
Both. I do
just
kind of it
posts?
all. And then stories at least every day. I usually take like Saturday, Sunday off though.
Yeah. Ballpark, how many views per reel?
500 is average, probably. I just had one that got, I posted a couple days ago, actually, about my husband and I just had our 11th anniversary, and that one has like 1500. So something about that did well.
Right.
Oh.
Wow. This is personal. People can relate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me see here. So, there's a couple of things that I'm noticing here. Like, one is that when you've brought up the faith-based piece, it almost sounds like you're feeling like you have to defend it or
Yeah, interesting.
justify it.
Yeah, that's literally whenever you said that, the word that popped in my head was justify. And I think it is because it's like I don't want to make people feel like I couldn't help them, even if they're not. I don't know. Like I don't know how to describe it. Yeah, I think I say that because I want to make sure that people are not being offended by what I'm saying, and also that they know that this is a huge value of mine. Probably.
So, I mean, who do you most want to work with?
Mean, like those, I really like working with women mostly. I've worked with,
Do you like to work with people who share your faith?
yes, because it's easy to relate to it because I use a
Correct.
lot of examples in storytelling. And so, yes.
So how about just owning it and being like you, and what I mean is like you don't have to be like, I'm faith-based and I'm only for people who are faith-based, right? But just own it. Just own
Yeah.
it as like this is who I am, and you will naturally speak that language in your content, which is going to attract those people that you most want to work with. And then people who are offended by that are like, then you don't want to work with those people anyway.
Yeah.
And then there are going to be people who don't necessarily share your faith in the same way, or like they don't know. Like, who knows? Like, there's so many different variety of Christianity, and like people, have different relationships with their faith. And they might just be curious, or like it gives them, even though they might not share your exact belief system, it still gives them confidence that here's a person with an integrity and a higher sense of purpose, or like at least
Yeah.
this like a spiritual component, which gives them if they like it, you're for them. If they don't like it, then
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I actually have a client now that you said that, who, whenever I first met with her, I was a little bit, I don't want to say nervous, but I was like apprehensive because, I mean, like I'm Catholic. And so some people love it. Some people are like, you're Catholic? Like, no. And so I was kind of shying away from saying that to her. But it came up in one of our sessions where she was like, she's like, I'm not Catholic, but I love that you are because I was raised by blah, 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 and this happened and this happened. She's like, so I think it's so interesting to hear you talk about this because it's like I missed out on it or because I just enjoy it or whatever. So that is a good point to talk about that and like be okay with it.
I mean, I grew up Protestant in Denmark, and I don't really know.
Yeah.
What, yeah, I know there's something about the Pope, and I've been to Italy and France, seen the cathedrals
Yeah.
and all that stuff, but I don't really know what the hell
Yeah.
it means. And so I'm curious, right? And so
Okay.
you can be like, hey, I'm Catholic, and this is what it means. Like, you can add in posts like that, where it's
Right.
not, it's like the main meal, but it adds a lot of personality to it.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, that's interesting because I know that I should be doing that, but it's so hard to like, again, trying to please everybody. And I know where it comes from, but it's so hard seeing your own stuff sometimes.
Where does it come from?
Well, because it's like growing up, I had friends who were not Catholic, and they learned that Catholics were like, what do they even think? I don't even remember. Whatever people think about Catholics, mostly where it's like they worship the Pope, they worship Mary, like they do all this stuff. And it's like, no, that's not actually true. But a lot of people think that. And so it's like, I don't even want to have to deal with. I don't want to have people think that I am like that stereotype because that's not what I am. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, that's interesting.
So that's content, right?
It is. Yeah.
growing up, like I didn't go around saying I was Catholic because like the kids are like, or whatever you did, they knew you were Catholic and they thought it meant this, that, and the other thing. And like, this is not what I mean. This is what it means to me, right? Or you can go the other way and like do something that's like so like a caricature of being Catholic, and then just and then kind of break the break the
Yeah, no,
script, break the and just be like, this is what people think. This is, but like, this is what my day to day is like, you know?
yeah, okay,
You know?
yeah, that's interesting.
Because that's going to appeal to, I mean, people who are Catholic, which are great. Like,
Yeah.
you want to work with those people, amazing. And it's going to appeal to people who are not to be like, oh, super interesting. Like, I'm attracted to you now. Like, I want to know more. This is interesting to me. And some people are going to be like, yeah, not for me. And that's great. Because you don't want to waste energy on them.
No, I think that's good because I guess it's showing myself that I have my own stereotype about Christians and what they believe. So just kind of needing to break through that. So that's good. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
It
I love
is.
that. Yeah. We all have these stereotypes, ideas, you know,
Yeah, for sure.
and what it, yeah. Yeah. It's one of the things that was so fascinating to me after coming to America. Like, there's so many different religion, like Christianities in this country, and I still don't really know,
There are,
you
yes,
know, half
so
of it.
many. Yeah. No, but that's good. Just leaning more into that and being okay. I mean, I am okay if it doesn't bring in the right people, but it's also like I don't want it to push people away who I actually do really enjoy working with. And if they found out, then it'd be like, well, I don't want to work with you anymore. You know what I mean? It's one of those like illogical things
Exactly. Yeah. And
comes
you
up.
don't want those people, right? Because like then you have to constantly hide. That's not
Yeah,
fun.
that's a good point. Yeah. That's a thing to think about. So you don't want those
So it's
people.
much better to get more of the people who are strongly attached to you, and then not need the people for whom you need to pretend you're something that you're not.
Yeah, I'm just writing that down.
Yeah. That's so
That's
good.
good.
Yeah. Amazing. Lean into it. Own it. Yeah. The other thing I'm picking up on is, and this might just be like the moment that I'm catching you here today, and you have five kids and you have one on the way, and I'm sure like that's a lot, and you got a farm and you got this business and you got like you have a lot going on, obviously. But there is an energy about you that feels, I'm trying to find the word, because in Danish the word would be ugly. And I know the, yeah, you have no idea what that means. So I was just trying to look it up, and it says indolent, which I actually don't know what it means in English,
No.
lazy or idle. But there's something where you come off to me, and again, this might just be my perception, or it might just be this moment, as like almost like I can't be bothered.
That's interesting. I've never heard
Yeah.
that before.
A little bit of like I don't know, like sometimes it feels like you roll your eyes a little bit and you're like, ah, I'm like, I'm all like, I don't know, I don't have really have the energy for this kind of thing, or like, you know, I don't know what it is, a little bit of like apprehension or something.
That's interesting because I keep saying interesting. Most people say they feel so calm. So I wonder if it's a similar energy. But because I usually work, like speak with women, maybe I'm coming off differently to you as like a man. I don't know.
Possibly. It feels like a little bit like withdrawn, like you're hiding a little bit in there somewhere.
Trying to think. I don't know. Is there something specific that you think that, like, why you think that? I'm just curious.
Things like your eyes a little bit like,
Are they like moving around? I
no,
think I know.
a little bit closed, and a little bit like, just when we before we got into this, and I was like, hey, sometimes I run a little too fast, et cetera. It felt like you're like the way it came off to me, and this again might be my shit. It was just like, yeah, come on, let's just get on with it. That was kind of the vibe that I got.
I can see that. I'm sorry. I think
And
it's
no, it's totally fine. There's zero judgment here. I'm just, the reason I'm pointing out is because if this is, again, this might just be the moment, it might be me, but if this is the vibe that comes off in your social media, that could be something that's not exactly attracting the people that you want. So again,
okay.
I'm not here to judge you in any way, and I'm like, whatever.
No, it's good information. Social. Again, just writing some stuff down. I think that, well, I know that I said that at the beginning because it's like I've been on so many podcasts and recordings now. It's sort of like I know the drill. You know what I mean? And so I didn't mean it to be like kind of like aloof or anything. It was more of just like, yeah, I got it. Like,
Yeah.
and
No.
I know you're doing it out of respect, but you know what I mean? So maybe that's where that first piece came in, but I do think that's interesting about on social if it's coming across like that. So I wrote down, like you said, lazy, and then was the word other word, like what was the other word you said?
It's like the way I would say is like is almost I can't really be bothered.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna, I don't know how I'm gonna look into the, how I've
No.
no, I will figure out how I can just
Yeah,
get used to that.
see, is there like like in your content, are you like fully connecting with the per with the camera, right? With the person that you imagine is on the other side of this camera, or is it more like I have to get this content done?
I know. It's, I mean, I think it's probably a mix, which is probably, yeah. Sometimes it's definitely like I haven't posted in a little while. I need to get something on. But then other times, especially like after a client, like right after a call with the client, where I'll hop on really quick and be like, this is what I just did. Like, this is what happened. This is blah, blah, blah. Like that stuff's really easy. And energy-wise, like that does feel probably like that higher energy versus, yeah, for sure. If I'm just like having to make something, that it's going to be low, like, you know what I mean? So.
But it's something to be aware of, just like what it like managing your state, right? So just, a simple thing is like shoulders back, chest up, and like, that can do a lot to how you come across.
Okay.
And like that state affects how you think and,
Yeah, for sure.
all of it. So little things like that can make a big difference.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not gonna lie, the physical side of things too is like we had farm camp this morning and we had dairy cows come in and 25 kids. So that's tiring. Had two calls before this. So like yeah, there is definitely some like tired.
Yeah,
But
I
no, I
totally
think,
get
yeah. So I think that's, no, I'm just writing some stuff down because I think it's helpful to hear this from the outside because you don't really know who I am. So, okay. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I appreciate of course. And what I'm thinking is when you say that is like that's super interesting. What you just shared about your what your day looks like.
Oh.
Right? That is
Yeah.
super interesting. Like, put that the fuck out there.
I actually have started to. I've been very resistant to do anything with both to cross the businesses because I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want to cross these. But I have started to, and like literally, today I've made a reel about like the dairy farmer came and she brought her cow and a calf and like the kids milked it and then I made it on our farm account and then I just like threw it in my stories on my coaching business to say like this is what I did today and this is also what I'm going to be doing today. So starting to do that, but it just feels like still a little resistance there.
What's the resistance?
How do I say it? I mean, I think it just comes down to, I feel like whenever, and I've heard this from others too. I don't know if you feel like this, but like when you're online, you feel like you can kind of be a different type of person, or I don't know, where versus like when you're in person, you're like, I don't want anybody in person to see my online stuff. Do you know what I mean? Does that resonate at all? Or have you heard that from others?
I don't know exactly.
Mean, I've heard it from other people. So it's like, no, like you don't need to watch my stuff online. Like just know me in person. And so it just feels like I post the in-person stuff on the coaching business side of things, it's going to be like, who does she think she is, or something like that. So,
I don't follow at all. This is very fascinating to
you serious? That's
me.
so funny.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, you mean like in person as in like just friends and family, or do you mean in person as in like the wedding barn dominium thing, or
Probably.
like
Probably friends and family the most. But then, yeah, I mean, I think that there is some component where it's like, I'll just speak to my church community, where it's like, I don't want my church community to necessarily find out that I speak about having wealth and like acquiring wealth and using it for good, and like that not everybody's called to be poor like Saint Francis and like live in rags and like in the mountains, you know? Because it's like then that's some people can take that as like, oh, she's not holy. Do you know what I mean? Versus, I know that that's not true, but it's hard sometimes to have that cognitive dissonance like not take over.
When did you learn that you needed to be seen to be holy?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's that I learned that I needed to be seen, but more of learned that I needed to not be seen.
To be not
Like,
holy.
to be holy was like you had to not be seen.
To be holy, you have to not be seen.
Yeah, which is very common among Christians, where it's like it's holy if you don't have a lot of money. It's not, but like, but that's what we are told. And like, it's holy if it's not all about you, right? Because then that's not being humble. So, yeah.
I mean, so what I heard you say was that some people might see that as not holy, even though you believe there's nothing unholy about it, right?
Yeah.
So it's more like what they think about you, even if it like what their perspective is. If they see you as not holy, that's somehow a problem for you.
Yeah, I mean, still human, still want people to like me and not judge me.
Good luck with that.
I
Have you met humans?
know, right?
Have you met a human that doesn't judge?
Besides Jesus, I never met him in person, so, but yeah, that's a good point.
People judge, it's our nature.
And that's the tough part where it's like, logically, I get it, right? Like, it makes sense. It's actually from a nervous system perspective, it's good because we don't want people, like, if we go back to primitive
I get
nature,
it. No, I
like,
get it. So that's why I asked you, when did you learn? Like, so what was it like growing up in a Catholic family? And I'm getting that ho being holy was a part of the conversation, part of the environment.
I don't know if it was per se. Just trying to think back. Let's see. Actually, so this is interesting. I haven't thought about this in a long time. So, whenever I was in middle school, high school, must have been high school. I don't remember, but I think it was high school. I went to a Protestant, it was a Presbyterian youth group. And there we talked a lot about like what it means to be a Christian in the world, what it means to live out our faith, stuff like that. And I don't remember the specific of it, but I remember like where I was sitting, who I was with, like what the environment looked like. Like I remember those sensory details. And one of the things that they talked about was like how we need to give every single like every Sunday. We need to tithe, right? Like there's this idea of like tithing 10%. And if you don't, then like that's actually against the Bible and like against teaching. And then therefore it's like that's bad. So that's probably where that comes from, is like hearing that. And then thinking like 10%, like at least to a high schooler, I'm like, that's a lot of money. Like I make like $1,500 a summer. Like that's like a whole week of work gone, you know? So that's probably where that comes from
And then you
mostly.
meet the government, and then you're like,
I
holy
know.
shit.
Especially coming from, what'd you say, Denmark?
Yeah,
I don't know what
good.
taxes are there, but I'm assuming if they're like every other European country, it's
Highest
insane.
in the world, I believe.
Are they really? What are they at? Like
I
60%?
forget, like, yeah, in the 60s. Yeah, marginal tax.
But yeah, I mean, like that's probably where it comes from, is that idea that it's like if you're not tithing, if you're not giving every week, then therefore it's like you are bad.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that's the thing. Like, there's a whole right and wrong
Yeah.
thing going on here, and good and bad, right? If you do right, you're good. If you do wrong, you're bad. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
with that, there was one coach that I had years ago, and I remember he said this where he was like, he said, I'm not gonna get the exact words, but he said, if you, like a person who is good with no money is gonna be a good person when they have millions, versus a person who's bad with, or like not nice with no money is not gonna be a nice person when they have millions. And like that was one of the things where I was like, oh, like that makes sense. So hearing that really helped.
Yeah. So, is it possible for you to be good or bad?
In relation to what?
Is it just as a being? Bridget, she's good. Bridget, she's bad.
I mean, I'm not a theologian, so I cannot answer specifically, but my thought and what I've read and like been taught by others is that like no, we are created good, and then we choose to do good or bad. So, but therefore we are still good. Like we are inherently still good. So no, we cannot be bad. We can choose to do bad things, but we're not going to be inherently bad.
Your lucky day, God didn't fuck up when he made you.
That's true.
So then, so let's talk about doing good versus doing bad. Like, how do you know if what you're doing is good or bad?
Man, that's like a tough question. They're so loaded. So I'll just come at it from how I usually talk to clients about it, where it's like, if something that you're doing brings this peace, that brings clarity, that brings freedom, then that is generally something that is good. Versus if something brings about fear or almost like relief, not relief in a good sense, but a relief of like, oh, like thank goodness that that's over. Not like I'm so thankful that that happened and it's over now. Then that is likely going to be more of like a quote bad
So
thing.
let's do this. Can you think of something that you've done that was bad?
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of little micro things. I know there's a lot of little micro things.
What's an example? It doesn't have to be like super bad. Just like an example of something you did that you'd say, yeah, that was bad.
You want like a more recent one or like a more distant
Doesn't
one?
matter. Doesn't matter.
I'm gonna give you an ambiguous, kind of an ambiguous one to see how you would do, how you would go through this. So when I
Okay.
was like, I don't even know, 7, 8, 9, somewhere around there, I was still little. I thought the newspapers in front of the grocery store were free because they were like sitting outside. So I took one, and then I found out that they weren't free, and like I thought that was really bad because I stole something.
Right. Yeah. Great. It's a great example. Thank you. So that 7-year-old Bridget that took that newspaper that she thought was free, could she have done anything else in that moment?
And like actually taking the paper?
Yeah.
I mean, probably could have asked, are these free?
Yeah. But she didn't even think to ask because, like, of course, there would be, I mean, they put them right there, like, right? Yeah.
So probably just trying to think if there's anything else or if I'm just trying to justify it. So, I mean, no, I guess. I guess not. It's like
Yeah.
25-cent paper. Like it's not that big of a deal.
Right. And it's not that big of a deal, but what I want you to consider is if you look back at all the things you've ever done that were bad, in that moment, you're just doing the best that you knew how to do. Given what you knew, given who you were at the time. So you couldn't really have done anything different. So whether it's good or bad isn't kind of irrelevant because you just did what you did. You know? And there are some consequences. Like then like you're like, yeah, like no, this paper is not free. You have to pay for it. And then I don't know, maybe you got scolded, maybe you just got someone just explained to you how it worked, or you had to put it back. Like, I don't know what happened, but like what happened happened as a consequence of it. But it wasn't that you did something bad. It wasn't that you did something wrong. You just did what
So
you did.
are you then suggesting that there's no, like, maybe I'm misunderstanding, that there's nothing, like, there's no good or bad, it's just neutral?
In a way, yeah. In terms of like, it's in my experience, it's really hard to know what's good or bad. Things can seem really bad in the moment, but then they turn out to be good. Or things can seem really good in the moment, and then they turn out to be bad, right? So I don't, the way I look at it, I don't know God's plan. Like, I don't understand God's plan, and it's not my job to try to understand God's plan. And so the judgment, when I judge myself for having done something bad or something wrong, in a sense, I'm actually judging God's creation because God created me this way, and I, in the moment, I did the best I knew how to do. And so I don't know what benefit there is to like judging myself for that, right? It doesn't mean like once I learned the consequences and that newspaper wasn't free and this like someone wrote it and someone put it there and like the storekeeper is like there to make money from selling it and that's his job, then I'm like, oh shit, okay, I'm sorry, I'll put it back, right? But it doesn't mean that I did something bad or I did something wrong, or it doesn't mean that I'm bad.
I get it. Can I push back a little bit just because I'm curious?
No, you can't. It's my podcast. You don't get to push back on fucking. Yes, go for
Like,
it.
again, just because I'm curious, this is going to be like a wild example, but I just want to hear your thoughts on it. So you go and you're like, I'm going to kill this person. And you're like, you had the intent, you had the plan, like you had it all orchestrated. You went and you killed the person. So would you say that that is not being like that is not doing something bad? Or you're
Yeah.
saying like the consequences, like
I
in
would
the moment.
no, I would go all the way there and say that's not it's not right or wrong, it's not good or bad. It's just I did what I did. And I'm not saying don't punish the person, don't put me in jail if I did that, right? I'm not saying there should be no consequences. There absolutely should be consequences for it. But it's not bad in the sense like in the moment it was the best I knew how to do. It just was. And so I don't need to like to incriminate myself over it. Right? I can realize like I did that. I don't know why I would, I mean, but okay. Truth, I murdered someone today. I honestly did. There are ants in the bed and I murdered some of them. I did. Does that make me bad? I don't know. I did what I did, you know? And like, I think sometimes there are certain class of people whose job it is to murder someone. And where we even fucking celebrate sometimes when they do murder someone, we tend to call them soldiers. And we send them out in the world to murder people. And I don't know if it's good or bad or right or wrong, but like, that's their fucking job. And they do it, right? So, yeah, that's my answer.
No, that's just thanks for sharing that. That's interesting. So your perspective on things is that in the moment, things are pretty much neutral because you're just doing what you know or whatever you should be doing, whatever you're told, or whatever you believe is the best thing to be doing. And then the good or bad comes after the fact and like the consequences of that thing.
Well, so yeah, the way I see it is in the moment, excuse me, in the moment, I'm always doing the best I know how to do. Right? Even the most corrupt politician, say, stealing, embezzling, doing whatever, he or she is doing the best that they know how to do in that moment. Like, because their whole belief system is that somehow this is a good thing to do, somehow this is the right thing to do, or somehow this is the only thing I can do because otherwise it's going to be worse or whatever it is. But there's some story in their head that makes this the best thing that they know how to do, even if it's quote unquote wrong, even if it's against the law, right? Even if it's morally like questionable, but in their heads, like that is the only reason that they do that. And so then later comes this moral judgment on ourselves. It was like, oh, I fucked that up. I shouldn't have done that. That was bad. That was wrong. And I don't think that that's helping. I don't think that we stop doing the bad thing because we incriminate ourselves over it, right? That little 7-year-old Bridget who took that paper, like, as soon as she understood, oh, this is someone else's paper and I get to buy it from them, it's not free. She's not going to do that again. She doesn't need to be beaten with a stick saying that was wrong and it was bad. Like, it's not necessary. In fact, it only makes it worse, right? Because now it's like, oh shit, I did something wrong. And now she starts to eat ice cream to numb that feeling or whatever she does, right? Did you know? So it's like, so it's the judgment is not helpful in that situation. That's my perspective. And I'm not saying it's the truth. I'm just saying that's how I look at it.
It's interesting. You have a very compassionate way of thinking about it, which is good. This is where, again, that faith sort of thing comes out, where it's like, but like you read all these stories in the Bible and it's like, you know what I mean? But no, I totally get what you're saying. And it sounds very similar to what I try to teach clients too, where it's like, it's all about that perception of like, what did you perceive? So like, with the 7-year-old example, it's like, yeah, if I was like you said, beaten for that, then it's like, then I would perceive X, Y, and Z. And then therefore that's how I would continue to live my life because of that pattern that I learned. Versus if I was treated compassionately, like it sounds like what how you live, which is beautiful, then I would live that pattern out and be probably more compassionate and more kind towards others who make mistakes and things like that. So yeah, I understand what you're saying.
And I think all good things come from being compassionate to ourselves.
Yeah, it's
The
hard.
more compassion we have for ourselves, the more love we have for ourselves, the more we just naturally do compassionate and loving things.
Where is that line then between compassion and constructive criticism from ourselves and also accepting it from others? Because I think that's really hard sometimes to see where that is.
Yeah. Can you give me an example?
I don't know. Even thinking of, feel like the paper example is too like cut and dry, especially for a little kid. Let's say this is totally made up. Business example, where you like really screwed up and you wrote something wrong in a client's contract and ended up that they had like 15 years to use all their coaching sessions when it's like, no, you actually wanted everything to be done in 15 months or something like that, 15 weeks or whatever. And like that client, instead of being compassionate, comes down and is like kind of a jerk, honestly, towards you. And they have every right to be because of the contract says that they have 15 years to do this thing, but you just really needed that compassion instead. So like, where is that line? I don't know if that's a good example, but where's that line between like, how do you be compassionate, but also still like enforcing boundaries, I guess, is maybe a good fit.
All right, great. I love the example. I just want to, so the 7-year-old Bridget, I just wanted to, because you brought that up again, right? So with her, what I would do is like, I'm so excited. Like, I love that you're so excited about reading, like, and learning about the world. That's amazing. That's incredible. Let me teach you how this works. These newspapers are for sale, and you want to, I'll buy this one for you, and then you pay the 25 cents, and then you're like, here, have it, enjoy it. Next time, you just, pay for it out of your whatever money you have, or like, I don't know what it was like when you were seven if you had money, or however that worked, right? But like, I just educate, and there's n and like nothing wrong done.
Sorry to interrupt you. Was that taught to you, or was that something that you had to learn yourself? I'm just curious because I feel
Oh,
like
it's
that.
not how I was brought up for sure.
I was gonna say, I feel like that's a very like nice way to go about things that not a lot of us grew up with.
No, 100%. But it's when you once you realize that like for me it was a huge thing to re recognize because I was of that belief that I was constantly fucking up and I was like I had fucked up all kinds of things in my life and then I started to get really scared about fucking up in the future. Oh shit, I gotta get it do it right and like what if I do it wrong and then I'm gonna be like one of two things are gonna happen in my mind. Either I'm not gonna be okay or it means I'm bad. So I'm like constantly monitoring every behavior to see, shit, do I do it right? Do I do it wrong? And all this happens subconsciously. So once I realized that that was going on, I was like, holy shit, that's crazy. So I trained myself to stop doing it, just like you would with your clients, of like catching myself doing it and recognizing, oh, like this is a lie. I can't do anything wrong because I could only do what I did, and I couldn't have done anything else because I didn't. Period. End of story. And
Wow.
so, yeah. And
Most
once you
people
start to,
don't have that awareness, so that's why that's awesome.
what do you say?
Most people, I feel like, don't have that awareness of like that I did what I did the best that I could in the moment. And like that's what I could do. And you just have to forgive yourself.
100%. But it's a whole cultural lie that we can do right and wrong, and and all of that, which I don't believe that. I believe it's a lie. So to your client, like, I don't know what transpired before or after, but I was just like, I am so sorry. I screwed up. When I wrote this contract, I said 15 years and I meant 15 months. And that's totally on me. And I'm really sorry. Would you be okay with changing that language? I know it's my mistake, but would you be okay with that? And then like, whatever. And I'm like, I totally get it. I get where you're coming from. And then you get to decide what do you want to do, right? So just again, person yelling, being upset, whatever, has nothing to do with me. Plexiglass, right? They're just blah, 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 blah. I didn't do anything wrong. Like I just did what I did. And now there's some consequences that I can deal with, but I don't need to judge myself for it. I don't need to judge them for their reaction. I see it's just someone who's feeling maybe it triggers their story about like never getting what they wanted or always being cheated out of something or whatever. It has nothing to do with me. And now we can just be like, well, what is your plan? Like 15 years is a long time. Would like 2 years work? Or would like, what are you thinking? And then you just figure it out. And if they need to do give 15 years to use their fucking sessions, fine, whatever, But you can also, or you can just be like, look, I get it, and I know that it's my mistake, and I'm just not gonna honor it because that it wouldn't feel right to me. And you have every right to be upset about that. So I'm gonna hold it to the 15 months that was intended, and you can go ahead and sue me if you want. Like that's fine too.
Good. No, that's really interesting. And I mean, it's the example was kind of ridiculous, so it's kind of laughable. But it does make it seem so much like less I don't want to say less consequential, but it sounds less, I don't know the right word. We'll just stick with consequential, where it's like
It's
it's
yeah, less
ultimately
heavy.
it's not that big of a deal in the grand scheme.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
And it can be like, and then they get upset again. You're like, I hear you, and I'm not gonna do that. I hear you. I totally get that. I agree. I fucked up, and I'm just not gonna honor that. What do you want to do instead? And you just hold that. With compassion, with like, no one's wrong.
Very good. That's good. It makes me think I had this one client last year, and she was it was for the group program, so it wasn't like anything that insane price wise, but I was working with a sales coach at the time, and I brought the conversation to her, and she was like, "Wow, you really need to like close this person because she's like just because she was saying how she's like I'm going on vacation with my
I like
family."
when people are open.
So she said, "I'm going on vacation with my family. I'm gonna join, but like, give me the next week because I'm literally like about to step onto a boat with my family." And my personal response was like, "Cool. Like, if this is meant to be, then like, it'll work out fine. And if it's not, then like, she wasn't ready for it anyways, and that's fine too. But so I took the conversation to my sales coach, and she was like, no, you have to like get her to close. She was like, send her a message saying she needs to send a deposit down, do this and that and the other thing. And it was like not a mean message, but it was very forceful, and it was not like me at all. And that woman actually responded back and was like, I was really excited to work with you, and now I'm not going to work with you because of the message. So I actually sent her a voice message back, and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, this is what happened. I allowed this thing to happen. I'm really sorry. And like, I hope you have a great vacation. I'm here if you ever need anything. But again, I'm really sorry. And what was so funny is she responded like immediately, and she was like, thanks for sending that. I'm so excited to join next week whenever I get back from vacation. So I think that might have been a better example that I should have given you than the previous one. But yeah, I just wanted to share that because it can be really easy to do what other people want instead of what you need to do.
Hey, buddy.
But you need to go back. No, I'm not done yet.
He's sweet though. And it's I love that your instincts on this. And it's so easy to get swayed by all of these. This is why I don't like to say to even use the word closing. I like to say enroll. Enrolling people.
Yeah, but again, it's hard whenever it was like working with somebody. I was probably working with somebody who wasn't super aligned, and so I shouldn't have been doing that.
You should
Anyway,
have, because
but
you did.
live and learn, and yeah,
You
and it
should
was
have,
really,
because you did. And you should have sent that message, because you did. And
good
look what
lesson.
came out of it. You got to be human, right? You got to demonstrate that you're human and that you can be like someone can push your fear buttons as well. Because that's, of course, this is all coming from fear, right? And so, like, gotta push, because there's really scarcity, fear, all that stuff. And when you had to have that voice in your head, you let that take over because you're fucking human, right? And so that's all we're doing, modeling being human with each other. There's nothing wrong with that. And I love that you then just owned it and just connected human to human again. And you did fucking amazing.
Thanks. It was good. It was a really good lesson that I learned for sure. So good.
And what
All right.
matters way more than the money is the relationship.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. So,
No,
sorry, we can keep talking.
you're good. You're good. You have five kids.
I'm used to this now, so no worries.
Oh, it's all good. So yeah, so on the money and the holy thing, like I'll just say for me, I would love for everybody to watch my content because I think the conversations I had with people would be way more interesting. If they're watching my content, then we can talk about that. And we're gonna be like, oh, you said that thing that really made me think about, like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go there, right? Like, that to me is like when I talk, when I speak on stage, the conversations that I have with people after speaking are the best versus before speaking. Like, it's more like small talk and like, hey, what do you, or whatever. But like after this, like, whoa, okay, now I have a whole world we can talk about. So I would love for everybody that I interact with in person to watch my content.
Yeah,
So,
that's a good point. That's a good way to think of it.
And so maybe like you're if you just it's comes kind of comes back to the first thing about like owning your faith. Like, this is your fucking faith, and your faith says that you can be Catholic and believe in Jesus Christ. And faithful to the religion and want money and visibility and have money and visibility and all these things. These are not in conflict. And other people might have that view that they're in conflict, then they're entitled to that view. And it doesn't have anything to do with you. And if they bring it to you, you can just be like, that is so exciting that you believe that. I used to believe that too. And I love that you share that with me. That is what, how generous of you to share your perspective. You're inviting me into your world to see the world life from your perspective. What an act of generosity. I love
So you're just
that.
like that open-mindedness is just, I feel like, very lacking in the world. And I do not have lots of people around me who are like that. So it's like very foreign to get a response like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I listened to this one podcast, and it's somewhat controversial. It's about birth and like everything with that. And one of the phrases that he always says is like, if somebody challenges you, just say like, you might be right. So I
Yeah.
think that same idea where it's like, yeah, you
Exactly.
might be right.
Yeah. Any criticism or judgment that anybody can ever throw at you, just find where you agree. You're unholy. You know what? I can find that. There are tons of moments where I've been unholy, where I've done unholy things. You're absolutely right. I appreciate you bringing that up. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a
Really?
liar. You're absolutely right. There are many moments where many times where I've lied. You're right. And you don't have to go into like, yes, 11 years ago I said a thing that was a lie, right? You can just be like, I agree. I am. You're right.
I just need more people in my life like this who are like, but maybe I'm supposed to be the first one. I don't know. Who are like this because, yeah, I feel like this is a very unique way of thinking about things and talking about them. Good.
Yeah. Have you ever read The Signs of Getting Rich?
The signs of getting rich.
The
No.
Signs of Getting Rich, Wallace
Science
D.
of getting rich.
Wattles. It's like from 100 years ago. And what I love about it for you is that it's all about like it's very faith-based. And it's like God wants you to be rich so that you can enjoy all the beautiful things that God created. And you can acquire books and you can go travel places and you can have nice things because God created all of it. So God wants you to be fucking rich.
It's, I mean, sure. And the other way I'm like, have started, not started, but over the last few years have been thinking about it too is like, and this doesn't even have to be faith-based. This is just without business, there's no charity. And so if you don't have a
Absolutely.
business, then it's like, then
100%.
nobody can be charitable.
And I'm going to tie a knot on this before we wrap up and say, how many other Christians and specifically Catholics do you think struggle with a similar kind of thing?
Oh, so many. And that's part of why I've felt like I need to start talking about it and like exploring it myself.
Yeah.
But so many people.
And the more you do from a perspective of, I don't have the answers, but I'm struggling with this, and this is what I'm finding. That I think is going to resonate like fuck. What did you
So
say?
with I'm gonna ask the follow-up question with that.
Yeah.
So in the online industry, it's like you have to be the authority, be the expert, do all this stuff.
Bullshit.
So what would you say to that then? If I say like I don't have all the answers,
Bullshit.
I believe I
Bullshit.
don't have all the answers.
Bullshit. You don't have to be the authority, you have to be fucking real.
It's
Yeah.
very different from what the
Yeah.
gurus all say.
Yeah, but I mean, when you scroll Instagram, do you like to follow people who are like all posturing as like, oh, I got everything, I'm all my shit together, like,
I mean, no, because it comes off as like arrogant and fake.
yeah.
Because nobody
So,
does. Very
right, exactly. Yeah.
cool.
Whereas when you see people who are just like, I'm figuring this thing out, like it's disarming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think you're poised to fucking crush it with this, 'cause you are genuinely a very, and hear this in the way that I mean it, you're genuinely a very attractive person. I mean, just based on the way that you think, your mind operates, your faith, your family, all the things that you're doing, like you're someone that I would want to fucking follow just to see what the hell you're doing and how you're doing all of these things and how you figure this thing out with the faith and the money and the business and you do a farm and you all the things that you do and the five fucking kids and one on the way. Like to me, just you are fascinating. You're super interesting and super worth following. There's a lady named Jenny Jean, that I came across recently on my Instagram. She popped up in my feed and I started following her. And she does a lot of yapping.
Oh
where
yeah.
she just like yaps from her kitchen talking about stuff. And she's very strategic about it. She's been like in Russell Brunson's inner circle, ClickFunnels, like all this stuff. So she knows, but she kind of stumbled into this way of like she was doing binge eating and then she just started to flip some furniture and then like didn't have
Oh,
a lot of money.
is this the
Was
one who
that?
did the yapping challenge or whatever?
Exactly. And so
Yeah.
she just yapped her way into a $1.2 million launch.
Yeah.
And I see that. I see that for you. Just that very real, simple, authentic way to show up on social media.
Interesting. Thanks.
Struggling with the things that you're struggling with and then sharing your journey. Because like the point is not to have it all figured out. The point is just to be a little bit ahead of the people that want to hire you in that particular area.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. Thank you for all of the insights and lots of things to think about
Yeah.
and to implement once I think
Yeah.
about them.
Or stop thinking about it and I just do it, you know? But yeah, I hear you.
It's more just to get like the more of that like that spider web kind of figured out where it's like, how does this relate to that? How do I
Yeah.
want this to that?
But I
So
think that the main thing is just let it settle in your nervous system. And when you catch the replay here, like notice the difference between the beginning of the conversation and how you're showing up and like now. And then just, yeah, start. You have your process, whatever. I'm a quick start in the Colby's. I'm like, just start doing it. But whatever your process is, do that. But yeah, like I said, I think you're sitting on a freaking gold mine just being fucking you. Because you're quite the force of nature.
thanks. That's funny you say that because you're the second one this week to tell me that. So to tell me to like talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. Can you give me like one or two things that I can do then to sort of implement this stuff?
Yes, I can, but I think you can. Tell me, what are the one or two things that you want to do from this?
See, I don't want to just say like be more authentic because that's not really like an action step. Sorry,
Mm-mm.
my husband just got home, so the baby wants to go see him.
Yeah.
It's probably well, I can look through social to see what like that vibe check is. And then trying to figure out those ones that were like the good vibes, what I was doing, where I was, like what was the environment around those. And do more of that. Can talk
So I
more about
think the vibe thing comes more from that desire to hide a little bit because you're scared of being seen. So I think it's downstream from that. So I don't think you need to worry about the vibe so much. More worry, like notice when you're not looking, wanting to be seen.
that. Okay. That was the next thing I was going to say is like really talk about like because my faith is super important to me, talk about it.
Yeah.
In a general sense, because I do talk about it, but I talk about it more generally. So be more
Yeah.
specific about it.
I would do a series of reels where you're just yapping to the camera, just hold up your damn phone and start talking and just say, I'm a Catholic and I was brought up learning that having money was not holy, or whatever your version of those words are, and just get into it and just start talking. And that becomes a series that you do, like you just talk out how you're working through this for yourself.
Yeah. So I do something like that. Look into that book, The Science of Getting Rich. Keep cutting learning this because
Yeah.
it does feel like.
And then you can talk out loud as you read each ch chapter and like, I just read this chapter and here's what it says and this is what it brings up in me and I feel all this guilt and shame around him, but it also feels very exciting. Like just whatever the fuck it brings up for you and just share that.
I'm
Yeah.
sort of not, I'm reading the 4-Hour Workweek right now. I don't know if you've read that. And I've sort of been doing that with that book and but I can do more of that for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. This was great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I think that can really like how to be a Catholic and relate to money. And like, I think
It's
that
so
right
hard.
there is like such a pillar for you that's going to really hit with a lot of people that you would really love to work with.
Yeah. It would. It's just hard. So I need to just kind of get over it and just embrace it and it'll be fine.
Yeah. And maybe you're going to have some people at church that come up to you and we're like, you're all talk about money and oh, you're so unholy and bad and whatever. And then you're like, you know what? I used to think that too. And now I'm not so sure. Right? You don't have to defend yourself and be like, well, it is holy, whatever. No, you're just like, I used to believe exactly what you're believing. And now I'm not so sure anymore. I'm just sitting in that space of like, I don't really know what to believe. Oh, but whatever. And then other people are going to come up to you and they'd be like, you know what, that thing that you said there, I feel the same way and I'm struggling with the same thing and I hope nobody notices. You know, you're gonna get both.
I actually had somebody do that to me a couple of weeks ago. She was like, "Can you talk more about this?" And I was like, "So,
Exactly.
yes, okay."
And
Well,
that's when
thank
you
you.
know it's working.
Yeah,
Yeah.
thank you again, though. I know we're over time, so I appreciate it. And
All good. Appreciate you, Bridget. It's such a
yeah,
joy to be with you again.
you too. All right, you're
Yeah.
doing good things, so keep it up, please.
Thank you.